Welcome to the Ferris Love Podcast. Here we explore spiritual insights and practical strategies to help you cultivate a family life rooted in beautiful, self-giving love. Join us as we invite experts to share uplifting perspectives and actionable advice for navigating the joys and challenges of modern family dynamics. Welcome to the Ferris Love Podcast. Today I have the privilege of speaking with Alex Havard, founder of the Virtuous Leadership Institute and the author of several books, including Virtuous Leadership and Created for Greatness. His work is dedicated to helping individuals discover and develop their leadership potential through the cultivation of virtue. Today we'll be discussing what it truly means to be a leader and how we can grow in virtue and how parents can cultivate leadership in within their families. Alex, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you.
So we just like to dive right in, and I'd love you to explain to our audience how you would define true leadership and how does virtue play a role in that?
Well, virtuous leadership for me is very simple. It's about achieving greatness by bringing out the greatness in others. So this requires two virtues, magnanimity and humility. Magnanimity is vision of greatness, and humility is a vision of service. So leadership is about greatness and service. Leadership is about achieving greatness by bringing out the greatness in others. So The virtues here are involved. You don't do those things without virtues. You need to have character to be a leader. Mm-hmm.
And how would you balance? So I think sometimes we have this perception of leadership being these like gung-ho, like super hardcore, you know, very, you know, rambunctious kind of people. How would you balance, like you said, humility with that idea of ambition?
Now, the first thing is that your leadership depends a lot on your temperament. Mm-hmm. If you're choleric temperament, yeah, you'll be very much like that. Mm-hmm. But to be a leader is not to be very much like that. Mm-hmm. You have a lot of leaders that are very quiet. Phlegmatic people, melancholic people. We've had a lot of leaders like this in the history of humanity. Mm-hmm. So leadership has nothing to do with cholerism. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. Cholerism, it's a way of being, but it's not leadership. It's character. So you're asking me about the question between of ambition. Well, first of all, we need to understand that humility is not about being pusillanimous. Humility is not about being small. Humility is the habit of living in the truth about oneself. So the truth is that each one of us has talents. And if you see only your weaknesses, then you are not humble. Mm-hmm. You're pusillanimous. You're small. You're humble when you see your defects, your limitations, but also your gifts, your talents, your possibilities. And that's one thing. So there is such a thing as a noble ambition. We have to have a lot of ambition in life because magnanimity, which is a very similar virtue, by the way, to humility, cannot be practiced if you don't have any ambition. Mm. And the great things requires ambition. But it's a noble ambition. It's the ambition to serve people. It's not the ambition to serve yourself. Mm. But ambition itself is a good thing. It means that you want to move forward in life. Mm. You want to develop yourself. You want to develop the others. When you say that leadership is about achieving greatness by bringing out the greatness in others, you're speaking about ambition. This is your ambition. You want to achieve greatness, and you want to help people become great people. Well, this is an ambition. Mm-hmm. So this is positive ambition, these are good ambitions. So leadership is very much about this. It's the truth of humility and the energy of magnanimity.
Mm, that's great. I'd love to go back to, you mentioned the temperaments. I think, yeah, can you go a little bit more into how maybe certain temperaments can use how they are, you know, how they are to be able to, yeah, to strengthen their roles as leaders.
Each temperament?
Mm-hmm.
Each temperament, what you should do?
Right, as a leader.
According to your temperament to develop mm-hmm. your leadership capability.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Each temperament is a biological direction. It's your first reaction. And you have to understand what's the next step for you in terms of developing your character when you know your temperament. That's a basic thing. This is for me the why, the question, why do we speak about temperaments, is for me fundamentally in order to identify the virtue that you have, that is going to be a challenge for you. So each temperament has, we know that each temperament is a direction, it's a specific movement, each temperament, it's a way of being that God has wanted for that person. So each temperament has to discover what is the challenging virtue for choleric people. You see very quickly that they have a great talent. They have a great energy, biological energy. They are real managers. They're born managers. They want to get things done. They are go and get getters. So they are people who are really, really, it's easy for them to move forward. It's easy to get things done. It's easy to achieve results, material results. So these people, what do they need to become real leaders? It's humility. The humility to serve others. The humility to understand that people are not human resources. People are not instruments. You shouldn't just look for material to achieve material goals. You should look for developing people, people that are working with you, your team, your children, friends. And this is not something natural in choleric people. Choleric people, the first thing they think about is achieving results, material results. So they need to practice the virtue of humility in order to empower people, to help them grow, to move people forward, and not just things forward. So that's something that's obvious, that if you are choleric and you want to be a leader, then you will have to be very humble. You will have to practice the virtue of humility. If you're a melancholic person, you're not directed towards action. You're directed towards ideas, creativity, beauty, truth, goodness, great stuff, but you are not a doer. And we understand that there is no leadership without doing. So you're going to be challenged by the virtue of boldness, audacity. These are challenges for you. But if you do this, you become a great person. I mean, Martin Luther King was a very melancholic person. He even had crisis melancholy. But he became a doer. He became a doer because he brought doers. He brought a lot of clerics close to him. And he learned from them. And then he began to do things. And nobody would say that he was not a doer. He was not a doer. He became a doer. This guy is a pastor. He writes poetry. He writes letters. He's not a doer. He became a doer. He's not born for action. He's born for thinking, writing. But he became a doer. Became a doer because he developed the virtue of audacity by learning from other people. So you see, that's typical. Then you have the sanguine people. Sanguine people, they're challenged by, and they are very open people, very open-minded. They like people. They like to communicate well with people. They live in the present. So their problem is when you want to be a leader, you have to think about the future. It's not enough to live in the present. You need to have a vision of the future. You need to be capable of sustainable activity. And sanguines have a tendency to begin, but they don't finish because they like adventure. And when you like adventure, you begin. But as soon as routine comes in, you know, you dissolve. Kind of Things become very boring, and then you stop and you do something else. So the tendency that people, the sanguine without character, they do a lot of things, but they do not finish anything. So sanguines need to learn how to finish the job before beginning a new job. So you see, a temperament helps you identify the virtues you need to develop. So the virtue the sanguine needs to develop is perseverance, endurance. These are key virtues for those people. And they become great leaders. When Thomas More was a very sanguine person, very sanguine. He was a good friend of everyone. He loved friendship. Not just because he was a spiritual, very, very spiritual, no, because he was very sanguine by nature. But he was very perseverant. In the end of the day, he was the only perseverant guy in England at the time. All the great choleric of his cholerics of his time collapsed. Mm-hmm. He didn't collapse. So he was strong. He knew what endurance was. And then you have the phlegmatic people. The phlegmatic people, they are very rational, scientific, rational, scientific, numbers. They like this, peaceful, very peace-oriented. And it's a very good thing. We need those people in life, obviously. But the problem they have is that they don't dream. They don't learn to dream. They're afraid of dreaming because they are. And they are, they love natural sciences. Mm. They love natural sciences. And a dream is very far from natural science. Mm-hmm. It's very, it's something very, very unscientific, mm-hmm. a dream. Mm-hmm. So what happens is that those phlegmatic have to be magnanimous. They are challenged by the virtue of magnanimity because they are challenged by greatness. They are challenged by a dream. They need a dream about themselves, a dream about the others. So this is the virtue that is recharging them. Mm-hmm. It's a virtue of magnanimity. So you see, to put things simple, each temperament is a direction, and this direction needs a correction, which is character. Mm-hmm. And you have to discover what is this element of character, that virtue of character you need to develop if you want to become a real leader. Mm-hmm. And then you become a leader. You're not born leader. Mm-hmm. You may be born a manager because you're a choleric, mm-hmm. but no one is born a leader. Mm-hmm. Because to achieve greatness, by bringing out greatness in others, this is magnanimity and humility. This is character. This is not biology.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And what would you say to someone who may see, they desire to be a strong leader in the current kind of morally ambiguous world? What would you say to them to continue to remain steadfast in those virtues of magnanimity, humility, but, facing kind of this onslaught of...
facing the world outside?
Yeah.
This is magnanimity. Mm. Magnanimity, it's very much this. It's about understanding your mission in life. Mm. And you understand your mission when you understand yourself well, and you understand well the world you live in. Mm. And if you understand very well the world you live in and you see the problems, well, you can understand what your mission is. Mm. And you understand that it's going to be, mission is, requires courage. Mm. It requires a lot of courage. Mm-hmm.
And what do you say to, how can we translate this kind of idea of the temperaments and things to family life, to fathers, to mothers, how they can lead their families to embrace also the virtues of that magnanimity and humility?
Well, in family, family is the same thing as everywhere. In business, family, military, education. All those things are very similar. Mm. And I have nothing very specific to say. Just the only thing I could say that to achieve greatness by bringing out the greatness in others is something that is very specific to parents. Mm-hmm. And that is very specific to teachers. Mm-hmm. So these are, I would say, functions in life, social functions, in which you have to be a leader. If not, you collapse. Mm-hmm. You get it. You really collapse. Mm-hmm. If your boss is not a leader, well, it's not pleasant. But you don't die. Mm-hmm. You look for a job outside. Mm-hmm. But you're not dead. But if your parents are not dead, mm-hmm. are not leaders. If your teachers at school are not leaders, it's a catastrophe. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a real catastrophe. You get it because you have the right to get it, mm-hmm. when you're young. From those people, and they don't do the job. Mm-hmm. They shouldn't be teachers, and they shouldn't be parents if they cannot be magnanimous. Mm. That's a problem. Mm-hmm.
Have you seen people who have kind of come from those backgrounds where they've not had leaders in their lives, and they're just like, okay, I'm choosing this for myself now? And
yeah, there are many people, unfortunately, well, who have not had any real parents, mm-hmm. or real teachers, that taught them those things.
Mm-hmm.
But I still tell them, look, the greatest, the most powerful act of leadership in life is to understand that there was no leadership in your life.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most powerful act of leadership. You're aware that there was no leadership in your life. From your parents, from your teachers, from your bosses, there was no such a thing. So you understand, well, now it should change. I want leadership for me. I want to change, you know, leadership. So this is a powerful decision, and this is the most powerful leadership decision that a human being can make. It's to decide to change.
Mm.
That's it.
Yeah.
And this is a leadership decision.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody can say, well, Alex, look at me, look at my life until now. I will never become a leader.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell them, well, if you know what leadership is about, achieving greatness by bringing out greatness in others, and you understand you can begin this at any age, any moment in your life,
mm-hmm.
whatever your past has been.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can say, well, I had those parents. I cannot do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You can do whatever you want
mm-hmm.
at any time.
Yeah, yeah.
Freedom is a reality. You're not the product of education.
Mm-hmm.
You're not the product of society.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not even the product of your temperament.
Mm-hmm.
You're free. All those things have an impact on you. Your temperament has an impact on your decisions, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Society with its values has an impact on your decisions. And education, your parents, your school, all this has an influence. But you're still free. Freedom is the most important thing in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You're free. You're not a product.
Mm-hmm.
Very important to say, people, you're not a product of your education.
Mm-hmm.
You're not a product of society. You're not a product of your temperament.
Mm-hmm.
All those things have an impact, but you're free.
Mm-hmm.
Freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And my science of virtuous leadership is very much based on freedom, dignity, freedom.
Mm-hmm.
We don't deny those things. We speak about temperament. We speak about family. We speak about environment. But we tell people, use them for the best.
Mm-hmm.
You're free.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Respect yourself. Don't think you're a product of anything.
Mm-hmm.
You're not a product at all. You're the product of your freedom.
Mm-hmm.
You decide what kind of man or woman you want to become.
Yeah.
And you are what you want to be, not what people have decided you will be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a very important thing. Leadership mm-hmm. is a sense of freedom and responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Freedom, responsibility for yourself, first of all. Take responsibility for yourself.
Mm-hmm. And what about those who you lead? The freedom of those who you lead? How can you balance your freedom, obviously, as the leader, with the freedom of those who you might be in charge of, or let's say your children, or you know, those people.
I think it's not a question of freedom; it's a question of by giving those people you lead,
mm-hmm.
you give them ideas, you don't give them instructions.
Mm-hmm.
You inspire them. So to inspire is not to destroy freedom in people. On the opposite, it's to make them capable of exercising their freedom. That's the thing. It's not about choosing between a iPod or a Android
mm-hmm.
or a chicken or a lamb. It's mm-hmm. not the same thing for lunch. No, it's not this. It's about making deep existential decisions. So to lead people is not to lead them to hell.
Mm-hmm.
It's to lead them to heaven, which is not the same thing.
Yeah.
Which is to leading itself. It's not destroying freedom of people. It's helping them use their freedom.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big difference.
Mm-hmm. You're speaking to a lot of people, especially at this conference, just about your, you know, virtuous leadership and magnanimity and humility. Mm-hmm. You said the first step of leadership is to make the decision. Okay, I'm like, if they came from poor leadership, let's say, the first step is to say, okay, I'm not going to let that define me in that sense.
Okay.
What would be the following? Like, how would they continue to grow through that through that process in order to become a good leader, depending upon?
The process is that you need all the time to have this, to build this environment, magnanimous environment that makes you grow. So it requires every day, an act of the intellect and the will.
Mm-hmm.
So prudence and courage have been involved every day in the development of magnanimity. It's you have to build a plan, and this plan you have to follow it. And this is a plan for every day. It's the biggest, it's the most important strategy in your life. Mm. It is to have a plan for your life. You should create that environment because this is what is going to move you forward. Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest problem with people is this one. They're incapable of building an environment, a plan of life. There is no plan for their lives. Mm-hmm. And they should have a plan that they can apply every day. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, they don't have, they need not to think every 5 seconds about what's next. Mm-hmm. They already know what's next. What I have to do every day, I do this in order to grow as a human being and to develop character. Mm-hmm. So this requires, of course, the intellect, yes. Virtue of prudence, to identify what's good, what's bad for me, mm-hmm. and courage, which is virtue of the will, mm-hmm. which is about, okay, I see this is good, then I do it. Mm-hmm. And this I think, is the way to move towards leadership.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. Any final thoughts for our audience full of parents and families?
Oh, parents? And, parents? Mm-hmm. Yes, I would say parents one thing. It's that if the children don't have a plan for their lives, other people have. Other people have a plan for the life of their children. Yeah, wow. And they just wait for that. Mm-hmm. They just wait for you not to have any plan for your children. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have a plan, serious plan for your children, be sure that many people have a plan for them. Oh. And they will not wait. And they implement it every day. Mm-hmm. So if the boy or the girl has not a real plan for themselves, then they will fall automatically in the plan of others. Mm-hmm. That's it. You cannot live without a plan because you are a social being. Mm-hmm. So you need interactions, you need influences. Mm-hmm. So if you're not capable of choosing yourself, the influences you want, you can be sure that you will fall into any kind of influences because mm-hmm. you just cannot live without influences. Mm-hmm. So that's the reality. That's the truth. The truth is that we are social beings. Mm-hmm. Your children are social beings. So if you don't have really a plan for them, mm-hmm. others have plans. And these guys are not good guys. Mm-hmm. And the plans are very bad. Mm-hmm. So don't be surprised if you think bad things happen to your children. The responsibility is yours. You have to teach your children how to build plans for their lives and the why of building those plans. And the children should be, with time, capable of being that plan alone without their parents.
Mm-hmm. True. Yeah.
That's the whole truth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow, thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time to be on our show and for providing just really profound insights, so thank you.
It's okay. Grateful. It worked well.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Ferris Love Podcast. In 2025, we are continuing to share the beautiful devotion to Mary, Mother of Ferris Love, while providing practical tools and advice for parents, couples, and families. You can help us with this mission by sharing this episode with a friend, subscribing to the podcast, or leaving a review. To learn more, visit us at ferrislovefamilyproject.org.